in our lives. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
We came from a lot of countries. We crossed a lot of borders. And the talk that we are going to have now, it's an audio visual presentation, but Rabbi Bastis has prepared, is going to be about the borders of Israel. Please listen and watch carefully.
The topic of our presentation is the borders of Israel.
Romans 11, 12 and 15. Now is the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentile, how much more their fullness? For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what should the receiving of them be but life from the dead? The Apostle Paul is talking here about earthly Israel, about Abraham's descendants according to the flesh, about their important role in God's plan of the ages, about what happened at the beginning of the gospel age and what will be the end of this age. These events are a bracket encompassing the gospel age. We can say that this nation is a hand on God's clock. We live in the times when we should be very interested in this nation. We should observe them, know and understand what is happening to them. The history of this people is very rich. We often study it. We often discuss the prophecies pertaining to Israel. We ask numerous questions, and to many of them we do not have the answers yet. We often ponder the statehood of this nation and the land they inhabit. Are they going to live within the present boundaries in the future, or should we rather expect changes? Will Israel have to give up part of its territory, or will it gain more land? Our presentation will not answer all these questions. It is rather my intention to help in searching for the answers by means of reflecting on some of the facts from Israel's history. We will point out and discuss a number of details concerning this nation's territory in the past as well as in the present, so we can expand our knowledge and receive blessings from it. The main thought is taken from Genesis 13:15. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. We will study that land God was talking about and who will inherit it. This image shows a part of the land that God talked about to Abraham. The basis of our study will be the Bible, since it is our greatest authority. When working on this presentation, I also used the Great Bible Atlas, the Bible Atlas and the book with archaeology through the lands of the Bible. This would be our view of the Middle East if we had the opportunity to be in space and look at our planet from above. This tiny portion is the promised land. How small and how important this area is, how many problems it is causing. Here we see a map of this area and a little country which poses a major problem, not only for its neighbours, but for all the nations of the world. Once again, the promised land, this time viewed from an aeroplane. We can clearly see here the Mediterranean Sea on the left and the Dead Sea, the darker spots surrounded with land. We will talk about them later. They are the main geographic features of this area, and I would like you, dear brethren, to keep them in mind because it will help us in our further study. We will see them on each map and it will be easier to understand which place we are talking about. Let us keep in mind this shape. The Israel of our times is a very varied country. The greenish colour represents seaside plains, yellow stands for uplands, brown for mountains, and the dark green area is the Jordan Valley, located in a depression that is below sea level. The size of this portion of the land is quite small, the widest part measuring about 130 and its length is about 420 kilometres. If we compare this country with Poland, we'll notice that Israel covers only a little part of it. It is a small country. One could travel all over it in a short period of time. However, small as it is, it contains practically all types of scenery. We will see some of them during this presentation. Before we start discussing Israel's borders, we'll say a few words about the geography of this area, so that later on we can easily recall its characteristic points and thus identify the important places on the map. This is a map of Israel. Seas and lakes are marked in blue. The thin, dark lines represent rivers and streams, and the dark brown spots show mountain ranges. The Great Sea is what the Bible calls the sea we know as the Mediterranean. It is mentioned multiple times in the scriptures. We will only recall one place, Joshua 15 and 12. The Salt Sea, we call it the Dead Sea, since there is no life in it due to its huge salinity. It is also mentioned many times in the Bible, for example, Joshua 15 and 5. The next characteristic body of water is not a sea, or so at times it bears this name. Lake Kinneret, or Genesaret, in the New Testament, known as the Sea of Galilee. The other distinctive features of this land Mount Hermon. Also, Hermon appears many times in the scriptures, for example, Psalms 89 and 12. River Jordan mentioned in Psalm 114 and verse 3. The mountains of Judah. There are many mountains in the Promised Land, and much could be said about them. We are bringing up these as characteristic elements of its southern portion. We find a reference to them in Joshua 11, 21. I think, dear brethren, that we have memorized these features. We're going to bring them up while looking at the maps which will follow. God once gave a promise to Abraham and confirmed it with a covenant. Genesis 13, 14 to 18, the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, between Bethel and Ai, northward and southward, eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then thy seed also shall be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Hermon, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Look southwards, Abraham saw this region, which we'll call Judea. He saw the desert of Judea and the mountain of Judea. Look eastwards, Abram probably saw the Jordan Valley and the land below it. He may not have seen the Jordan itself, like we see it on the screen, because the river is in the bottom of the valley. Look westward, Abraham has likely held a beautiful plain close to the horizontal line to the infinity of the Great Sea, which we call the Mediterranean. After these events, Abraham removed his tent and walked towards Hebron, because as we read, God ordered him to walk through the land and acquaint him with it. We might think that Abraham regularly travelled throughout this whole area, but it was not so. He stayed in the places which were abundant in pasture and water, because this was what his flock needed. When God established the covenant with Abraham, he said, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, under thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. The Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Cadmonites, the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Rephaims, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. Genesis 15, 18 to 21. God established the borders from the river Egypt unto the Euphrates. I'll talk about it later. We can ask which descendants were to inherit it, as Abraham had many children. We will consider this question later as well. I would like to emphasize here the nation's names usually came from the name of the head of the house, who lived in a certain area with his family and multiplied, establishing a nation and building a city, which was usually called by his name too. This is a map on which we will attempt to show where these 10 nations came from. The Kenites. We read about these people in Numbers 24, 21 to 22. It is an episode in Israel's wanderings in the desert in which the prophet Balaam came out to meet them. From this story we conclude where the Kenites lived and who they descended from. The Kenizzites, this nation is mentioned in Genesis 15:19. They were the descendants of Esau. This tells us where they lived. The Karamites, we know next to nothing about these people because they were mentioned only once in the scriptures, in the verse we just quoted. In view of what we said earlier, we can suggest that they lived in the city of Kirsch and its surroundings, and this city was situated in the north, close to Mount Hermon. Hittites. We have much more information about them. They were descendants of Heth from the tribe of Canaan, and their land is described in Genesis 23:17-20. We must add that later on this nation migrated to the area of today's Syria. The Perizzites, Genesis 13:3-7, tells us where they lived, in the vicinity of Bethlehem. We do not know, however, from whom they are descended. The Rephaims, the Bible mentions them several times. Genesis 14, verse 5 gives us some clue as to where they lived. We also know that the last Rephaim was on the king of Bashan. Bashan in the land of the Rephaims. The Amorites. There are many references to this nation. Genesis chapter 10, Numbers 21 and 25. This description tells us exactly where these people dwelled. The Canaanites. Scriptures give us precise information about the location of this nation. Genesis 10:19. The Girgashites. The Bible does not tell us where the Girgashites live. I did not find this information in the publications I used either. From 1 Chronicles 1:13-14, we can conclude that they dwelt in the area between the Jordan and the Mediterranean. They were descendants of Canaan, similar to the Hittites, Amorites, and Jebusites. Finally, the last nation, the Jebusites. We know quite a lot about them thanks to the story of King David's capture of Jebus, which was the Jebusites' capital city. Since that event, this city has been known as Jerusalem. Thus we know exactly what area belonged to the Jebusites, descendants of Canaan, 1 Chronicles 11:4. This slide shows us approximately the area inhabited by the ten nations whose land was promised to Abraham and his people. It also presents some of the neighbouring nations. Their lands did not belong to the promised land. Genesis 17:6-8. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thy seed in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto them, and to thy seed after thee. And I'll give unto them and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And as we remember, Abraham had more than one son, but this promise we are talking about, the promise in inheriting the land, pertained to all of them. No, it was only to one of them, for Isaac. We can find proof in Genesis 26:1-6. There was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went to Amalek, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. sojourn in the land, and I will be with thee and bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all the countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. Exodus 3:8. Notice that this scripture lists only five nations, and also a new name appears here in the Hivite, which was not mentioned before. Exodus 12:40-41. After 430 years, the Israelites were leaving Egypt to take possession of the land. We will show this process on a few slides that will follow. Exodus 23:23-31 says, For mine angel will go forth before thee and bring thee unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods nor serve them. Nor do their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them, and quite break down their images, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless thy bread and thy water. I will set the bounds from the Red Sea unto the sea unto the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into thy hand, and thou shalt deliver out before thee. Some of the nations were not mentioned because their time had passed during the 400 years they were captured by their neighbours and ceased to exist. Verse 31 describes the borders of the land to be taken by Israel. This is another map showing the area in question. The borders were to be set from the Red Sea and even under the Sea of the Philistines. We know that the Philistines lived on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea in the area of Gaza. This is how we determine the southern end of Israel, the width of their country. The second dimension, from the desert unto the river. The root of the word used here means to spring up, and it means both water wells and large rivers. Some translators render it the Euphrates, but we would suggest, however, that it rather refers to the springs of Jordan, since the original did not include the word Euphrates. Now we can see a table summarizing different scriptures talking about the nations whose lands Israel was to take over. Only one place lists 10 nations. All other verses mention a lesser number, from 5 to 7. Dark blue colour signifies the Canaan nations, the descendants of Canaan, Ham's grandson. The passages from Numbers 34:1-15 precisely describe the borders in the south, west and east. This outlines the inheritance of 9.5 tribes. And the other 2.5 tribes dwell on the eastern side of the Jordan River. Here, we once again see the bird's eye view of the promised land, including its characteristic points. The red lines mark the border described in the verses quoted above, the land of 9.5 tribes. Deuteronomy 34:1-4, we find what area Moses saw when he went up to the mountain of Nebo. The red dots mark the location of this mountain. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pithah. This is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all of Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim, Manasseh, and all the lands of Judah unto the uttermost sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees unto Zor, and the lands. And the Lord said unto him, This is the land which I swore unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed, and I will cause them to see it with thine eyes. Thou shalt not go over thither. Chapters 6 through 12 of Joshua describe the conquest of the land. Let us analyze how the tribes were taking over from their areas. The first ones to settle down was Reuben. Then then Gad and half of Asher, then Ephraim, Benjamin, Dan, Judah, and Simeon, the other half Manasseh, Issachar, Zebulun, Naphtali, and Asher. According to God's ordinance, the land was divided amongst the tribes by drawing lots. They were taken over gradually, as we read before. Dividing the land is recorded in Joshua chapters 13 through 19.
Various sources, and there are slight differences between them, despite the fact that the Bible gives detailed descriptions of the borders for different tribes. Many of these names cannot be precisely identified. This is what causes them inconsistencies. Numbers 33, 51 to 55. This passage says that these lands were to remain Israel's inheritance forever, and that while taking them over, the Israelites were to purge them of all the idolatry, as well as destroy the nations that inhabited these areas. We read, If you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land, those you allow to remain will become barbs in your eyes and thorns in your sides. They will give you trouble in the land where you live. If you do not drive them out, you will face harsh experiences. Joshua, 21st chapter, 43 to 45. We can read the words which proved to us that God fulfilled his promises to them. So the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their forefathers, and they took possession of it and settled there. The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their forefathers. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord, he used his own words, so I'll just read what he said. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord handed all their enemies over to them. Not one of all of the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. We have read that all the promises were fulfilled. Did the Israelites drive away all the heathen nations? No. Some of the cities were still inhabited by strangers. Joshua wrote again in chapter 13, 2-6, this is the land that remains. Part of the text are marked in color, and the same colors are used on the map to mark the respective areas. In Judges 3, 1-6, we read, these are the nations the Lord left to test all those Israelites who had not experienced any of the wars in Canaan. He did this only to teach warfare to the descendants of the Israelites who had not had previous battle experience. The five rulers of the Philistines, all the Canaanites, the Sidonians, and the Hittites lived in the Lebanon mountains from Mount Baal Hermon to Lebo Hamath. They were left to test the Israelites to see whether they would obey the Lord's commands, which he had given their forefathers through Moses. The Israelites lived among the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. They took their daughters in marriage and gave their own daughters to their sons and served their gods. NIV. So there are still some nations which Israel never actually drove out. Slide 49. Let us move on to the later times, to Israel's peak of greatness. These were the days when David was the king and when he was succeeded by his son Solomon. This map shows the lands where David reigned. On the next map, we can see the regions under the rule of King David and King Solomon. The subjugated nations served the Jews, but the Jews never inhabited their areas. Some suggest that in Solomon's time, the kingdom reached as far as the Euphrates. In the upper right corner, we see the line which may have been the boundary of Solomon's reign. Below is a list of the lands under his control. Moab, 2 Samuel 8:2. Zobah, 2 Samuel 8, 3-5. Edom, 2 Samuel 8:13 and 14. Ammon, 2 Samuel, chapter 10 and 11. In the passages cited above, we read that David conquered some neighboring nations whose land were not given to the Jews as inheritance, and they did not inhabit them and never colonized them. For comparison, once again, a map showing the borders is assigned by the Lord for 9.5 tribes of Israel. This slide shows various renditions of the scripture describing the vastness of the lands ruled by Solomon. Notice that there are differences in outlining the northern border. After the period of prosperity comes a downfall. Soon after Solomon's death, his kingdom is split into the northern part, encompassing 10 tribes, and the southern one, also known as Judah, which included the tribes of Judah and Benjamin. The extent of the first kingdom is shown here in yellow, and the latter one in pink. In this map we see how small was the kingdom of Judah. After Solomon, the state of Israel experienced a decline. As one king followed another, the nations acted worse and worse. God's blessing decreases. First, the northern kingdom is overthrown. During the Assyrian invasion, these tribes were taken into captivity and never really returned to their land. The kingdom of Judah lasted over 100 years longer until the invasion of Babylonians. In those days, a good king, Josiah, ascended to the throne of Judah, and the Jews took control over an area quite similar to the land given to the 12 tribes. this was the last period of prosperity of the Jewish state. Since the Babylonian captivity until the modern time, Israel has never been a truly independent state. This is what the land looked like in the New Testament times. As we remember, two tribes returned from captivity in Babylon and lived at that time in Judah and Galilee. These areas are marked on this map in bright red. In the New Testament, we find out about the regions of our Lord's activity. Galilee, Nazareth, Cana, Capernaum. That's Matthew 4:23. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Beyond Jordan, Matthew 19:1, Judah, Jerusalem, Bethany, Mark 10 and John 3, Phoenicia, Tyre, Sidon, Decapolis, Mark 7, 31. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came into the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. This map shows the area I have just mentioned, the lands inhabited at that time by Jews. It was actually a remnant of the Jewish statehood. After an insurrection in 70 AD and another one in 130 AD, the Jews were expelled from that region, and for the next 18 centuries, they were wanderers in various parts of the world. Only a handful stayed in that area, which underwent a number of changes. They fell under the rule of Romans, Arabs, and Turks, until finally, after World War I, they were taken over by the British. This slide shows in pink the part of Palestine under the British protectorate. Now we move on to the times after World War II. It should be noted that in the second half of the 19th century, as well as the 20th century, Jews are more and more seriously thinking about establishing their own state. The Zionist movement undertakes various actions to enable Jews to have their own country. They were even considering setting up this state in Argentina or in distant Siberia. However, these were not the lands promised to them by God. The Jews were to return to the land which God gave to their forefathers as inheritance for eternity. 1947. The United Nations proposes dividing Palestine into two independent states, the Jewish one and the Arab one, assigning the Jews 56% of the territory, the green area on the map. 1949. The Arabs reject the plan. In 1948, the State of Israel is established and the war breaks out. Until the ceasefire in 1949, Israel controls 75% of the territory. After the Six-Day War, Israel takes over Eastern Jerusalem, as well as the West Bank, Gaza Strip, Golan Heights, and Sinai Peninsula. 1979. Israel leaves Sinai. 1993. Israel and the PLO begin agreements concerning the self-government of the Palestinians. This is what the Middle East looks like nowadays. The blue area is Israel, and the surrounding Arab states are marked in yellow. Notice how significant is the predominance of the Arabs. Finally, I would like to point to the areas about which we read in newspapers, and which we hear in the news. West Bank, Gaza Strip. The dark brown areas are under the Palestinian control, a nice burnout part, are inhabited by Palestinians. But Israel is responsible for safety there. The pink areas are the subject of the strongest dispute. Notice that Gaza was at one time inhabited by the Philistines, and Jews never actually lived there. One more slide. The red line marks the areas in which the Jews are currently building their wall to separate themselves from the Palestinians, a feeling of safety. In closing, I hope that the images and various maps have brought closer to you the issues of Israel's statehood throughout the whole history of this nation, and that it will help you in further studying various aspects of their present and their future. Amen.
We thank you, Brother Daniel, for this presentation, this wonderful land that has so many problems, but we are sure and we are aware of the fact that our Heavenly Father has an eye on this land, and we now know that He's going to resolve all the problems, and one day will come when all the blessings spread out on this land are going to run on all the nations, like the image of the body of the sacrifice. I'm going to ask Brother Bernard to read a few announcements.